The whole of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, they have been made subject to vanity. And you also have been made subject to the same things that they have been made subject to. And they are waiting for you to erupt out of that situation and break down all the barriers and show that those limitations, all right, are really non-existent entities in the realm of the spirit, right, based on what Jesus Christ has done. That if they can see somebody rise out of that situation and rise with power and strength and speed, right, all of them will be caught up into the glorious liberty and into the light of that person. And he says, what is happening? He says they might be caught up into the liberty. So there's a perfect law of liberty that is at work in the child of God who manifests his sonship while he's being made subject to vanity. And he says, this is what is happening. While we look not at the things that are seen, which means this is the affliction. We take our eyes off the things that are seen, even though they are trying to get our attention. And then we place them on the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen, it says they are eternal there. So the things that are seen are subject to change, but the things that we're not seeing, they are powerful, and they're the ones going to change the entire thing. So it says we are looking at, that's our light affliction. We keep looking at these things, all right? We keep looking at these things there. We keep it within our sights there. All right, we keep it inside our consciousness there, right? With our words, we keep doing that. And same thing is said in chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what is he saying here? Beholding as in a glass, right? Looking at it. Now, put up James chapter 1 and verse 23, I believe. All right, James chapter 1 and verse 23, right? Verse 22. It says, be ye doers of the word, all right, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Now, let's follow how you do the word of God and what happens when you're a hearer only. Now, follow the thought of the scriptures, not what you think the scripture is saying based on your preconceived ideas. Now, the next verse, it says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, this is his experience. He is like a man beholding his natural face in the glass, which means when you hear the word, what happens is you see something. Are you following what I'm saying here? He beholds his natural face as in a glass. Now look at verse 24. It goes on, for he beholdeth himself. So when he heard, he beholdeth himself, but then goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man that he was. Then verse 25, it now says, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, not being a what? Forgetful hearer. In other words, he is a continuous hearer. So the way to do it is that because once he says, how do you do it? You continue therein. He looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continued. So how do you continue there? Because the way you saw it the first time is by hearing. So what happens is you keep hearing that and you keep hearing that. And that's what you keep seeing when you keep hearing. And that's why he says, he that worketh miracles amongst you. How is he doing it? By the works of the law, by the hearing of faith, which means faith that is produced by him hearing, which means that person who is doing supernatural things, right, is constantly hearing, all right, the word of God. He constantly is hearing the word of God, which means the visuals are constantly before him. He doesn't forget what manner of man he is. He continues, not a forgetful hearer. He continues to hear that thing. That's the secret, which means to do it, just keep hearing it. Just keep hearing. That's why Paul said in Romans 10, this is what we are preaching. That the word is nigh thee, in thy heart, and thy mouth, and in thy heart. He said, this is the word of faith that we preach. Now, he used a play on words there. When he said, the word is nigh thee, is to use the word logos, which means the revelation of God's thought is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. He said, this is the rhema of faith we are preaching. He said, what we are preaching is the rhema that produces faith. That word rhema is the word of God revealed on your lips. That what we are telling you is that put the word that has been revealed to you, don't just have it on your notes, get it on your lips. Said, this is what we are saying. He said, once it gets on your lips, then you will start hearing it. He says, and once you're continuously hearing it, then you will be seeing that word fulfilled on the inside. He says, and what you are seeing on the inside, the Holy Spirit begins to transform. In other words, if you see the first time, the Holy Spirit steps in, wants to start the work, but you forget what manner of man you are, the world puts another image, the Holy Ghost has nothing to work with. But you keep that right before you. You keep that right before you. That's why you have to organize your life to do this. That's why that man that said every 3 hours, he was confessing the word of God. He organized himself to keep hearing the word of God, to keep that image before him, to keep that image before him. We've explained this before. A doctor told me this. All right. When I shared with him, he said, what you said is right. He said, that's why we tell people, take tablets, we'll say 3 times a day. He said, what we are trying to do is what is called the minimal level at which the drug must remain in the system over a period of time in order to heal the body. He says, so we'll tell you, take it at 8 a.m., then take it again at 1 p.m., then take it again at 6 p.m. He said, what we're trying to do is that the level of that drug will drop in the body after 4 hours, pump it back. Then it drops again, pump it back. That if it drops beneath a certain level, it will stop working. All right? So the word of God must remain at a certain level there, which means your thoughts, your consciousness must be on those words. Your consciousness must be there. So you've got to organize yourself. The way a doctor, that's why the Bible says that it's medicine to your flesh. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. All right? So you have the confession there and you are saying it. You read the scriptures, you say it to yourself. Write it out. It will take 2 minutes for you to do it. All right? Every hour, go back to that thing. Depending on how you want, all right, what is really going on. If this is a life matter to you, and if this is what you are involved in, then this shouldn't be too difficult. Go back to it every hour. If you hear it every 3 weeks, it will never happen. Go back to it every hour. Declare that, all right, so your consciousness, after some time, your mind gets trained, it begins to think in that way, which means without you even, you know, consciously thinking about it, your obedience, right, on the inside of yourself is complete. Now, let me close with something. Go to Genesis chapter 30 and verse 38. Genesis 30 and 38. And we'll see this here. Genesis 30 and verse 38 is the perfect law of liberty. All right? Bringing it into your thought life. Bringing it place of obedience. And when is the best time? Hear what I'm saying. Not best time. The most effective time to make your declaration just after an unexpected defeat. Do you get what I'm saying? In other words, I've been saying something, right? And then I thought it will happen this morning. And this morning I woke up and the stage was set and I got there and it didn't happen. The most effective time, because that's almost when your heart is open, all right? So you to bring it back into your consciousness is at that particular moment and reinforce, all right, that particular thing. That's when the enemy knows that, right? Defeat is clearly on the way. This person has gotten a hold of it. But if you sit down and allow all kinds of thoughts to come in, all right, suggestions of giving up, of defeat and all of that. Okay? In Genesis 30 here and verse 38, this was Jacob. He had been sent out by his father. His father was very rich. But there was something they did in the family lineage. They never gave money to their sons. What happened was that Abraham was very rich. If you read it, he gave all the cash to the sons of the concubines. He said, what you need is peace. So let's settle all of them with the cash and the silver and gold so they will leave you alone. Let's give them all the properties, they will leave you alone. They will think that they have won and you lost. He said, remember, I started with nothing. So he gave all the sons of the concubines, sent them far away, that you can't be around, because the law of the spirit of life cannot work where strife is there. You follow what I'm saying here? Because where strife is there in a relationship, this is what happens. that person is constantly thinking about what that other person did to them. It dominates their mind. They are struggling to forgive. They keep doing that. You just cannot focus if you have somebody in your space that keeps, all right, assaulting you and those that, listen to me, no matter the cost in the natural, walk away from that thing. That's why I said if your eye will bring an offense, which means it is important. This is all you thought. This is how you see. He says, cut that thing off. Because if constantly you sit down and you are distracted by what that person is saying, you wake up, is what that person is, then they have gotten, Satan has gotten into your heart. He's taking control there. So he said, you know what? We don't want any disturbance. Oh yeah, you guys, take all the cash. So he said, you can go. They said, they are gone. Great. Isaac must have looked at him and said, so what am I getting? He said, I'll give you the empowerment. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing, not the blessings, the blessing, one blessing, and it's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. So the blessing is the power. So he said that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So he laid hands and said, receive the Spirit. You can go. Right? Jacob also, he said, here, you got it. You can go. So Jacob got to Laban's house. There was nothing. And so after some time, it multiplied. Now, it multiplied based on this principle, because that's what Jacob also did. So Jacob now got to a point and said, it's now time for me to leave and for me to go and build up, all right, for my house and family. So he went to meet Laban and said, well, you've cheated me all these days. Well, here is the deal now. The deal is that I will give you an impossible situation. All right? You give me only black sheep, black goats, right? And if they give birth to spotted ones, all the spotted ones will be mine. And Laban said, serious? Said, yes. You mean you are telling me to reverse the DNA of animals? This is overconfidence. Because you multiply them, now you think you can do. Said, all right. No problem. He said, I know what you want to do. You, at night, you will cause them to mate and carry them and hide them somewhere. So he took them on a 3-day journey. Said, you see the distance now? Leave him. So Jacob also was smart. He took the weak black ones and left them to mate normally. So the weak, they produced weak ones. Are you following what we're saying here? Do you see the law of hereditary there? You see, he recognized the law of hereditary. That weak will produce weak. Daft will produce daft. Do you understand what I'm saying? Weak will produce weak. Daft will produce daft. Generational curse will continue. See, generational curse continues. He says, but I will reverse it here. So he brought the strong one, put them there, and now placed peeled rods there and put it before their eyes. And the scripture tells us in Genesis 30 and verse 38, and he said the rods that had been peeled before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, and when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive while they drank. And the flocks conceived before the rods, all right, and brought forth cattle speckled, all right, and spotted. So what he did was that he made them conceive according to what they were seeing. Now, so if you keep your eyes on God's word there, which means you are hearing and you are seeing the word, after some time, you conceive that word on the inside. You see it on the inside. Then you can bring forth that particular thing. And how do we bring forth that particular thing? To bring forth, in Isaiah 66, you can put that up and verse 8. It tells us as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. All right, 66 and verse 8. It says, who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? All right, shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. So what he's saying is that prayer, travailing prayer, is what will make us bring forth. However, you can only bring forth in prayer what you have conceived. Do you get what I'm saying? All right, the condition that must be satisfied for prayer to produce, so that you don't bring forth emptiness, is that you must conceive something. And what you conceive is what you are seeing. So that when you enter into prayer for that thing is right before you. You know that you are pushing for something that is in your heart that you can see, right, to materialize on the earth. The trajectory of the church as Pentecostal charismatic movement shifted greatly from 1979 to 1981. Based on certain teachings that came into the body of Christ, one hallmark pillar that brought it was when Kenneth Hagin taught on intercession by precept and example. When Kenneth Copeland taught on intercession, when they began to talk on soul travail and intercessory prayer, when he explained and said he went to a small church and told them, God told me he has given you this city. He said, but you will take possession of it through soul travail and intercessory prayer. And people moved, all right, into intercession. Strong wave of intercession here in the body of Christ. And ministries began to explode. However, Kenneth Copeland, at the beginning of the message on intercessory prayer, started by saying, it is not by the physical motions of groanings, intensity of effort, that you are going to get the result, but you will get it by faith. Meaning that anybody who is coming to pray must believe he has already received that thing. All right? It's not because, you know, no. You must believe on the inside. And what we're talking about is the process where it enters fully into the heart of a person that I have received, all right, this particular thing. Where there's a shift in his consciousness, it has been broken. Where he has come into the perfect law of liberty. Let me tell you what that law of liberty will do to you. It will make you know that all things are actually possible. Right? Which means the limitations, you will discover that this is how great things are done. That all things are actually possible. That all that has to happen is God has to show me inside his word. And then I must discipline myself to bring every conscious thought there in obedience to what he has shown me. If I do that, all right, that light affliction of redirecting my thoughts and redirecting my thoughts and keeping the right image before me will work for me an eternal weight of glory, all right? And it will only last for a short while of doing it, all right, doing that. And then after some time, the glory that will be revealed in my life is not worthy to be compared, all right? The suffering, right, is not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed. I can't compare, right, what has come out, all right, to the suffering. This is what I'm saying here, which means that you understand that this is grace, because if this is what I did, it looked like something big, but what came out of it, right, I was paid much more than what I put into this thing. Are you following what I'm saying here? So it does that. So yes, God has finished his work for us in Christ, right? And this is what people need to understand, because people say that, well, you know, and it brings people into a state of slothfulness. Anybody who says the revelation of God's word does not make me pray, listen, you go to the place, there is no impact, there is nothing. You understand this? And there are people that pray and don't get results. The reason why they pray and don't get results is because there's no faith that is on the inside. All right? They've not conceived anything. The word is not there. All right? And do that. Because our works can add nothing to the finished work of Jesus. Nothing. But we enter into the finished work of Jesus by faith. And faith without works is dead. Do you get what I'm saying here? He said, our works cannot add anything to what Jesus did. But it takes faith to receive what he has done. And he says, I, by my works, I will show you my faith. If you say, I have faith and I'm receiving the things of Jesus, and we don't see anything that you are doing, then it is faith without works that is dead. In other words, this is what we tell people. All right? It's not a theoretical battle. Is a battle of manifestation. All right? Which means that if you say that I'm not going to do anything, what happens is that nothing will happen in your life. If you say that, but what it tells us is that this affliction that you go through is not worthy to be compared to the glory, all right, that shall be revealed on the inside of us. But there has to be that, because it is not the will of God that necessarily comes to pass in the life of a man, but it's what is inside that man's heart that comes to pass in his life. For the nation of Israel did not enter the promised land, and it was God's will he swore by himself. Because what happened was what was in their heart that actually happened, which means they saw themselves as grasshoppers, and so was how it manifested. So God says, here is my will, but my will must enter into your heart. Change the shape of your heart. And once that happens, then it affects your life. And then what happens is everybody was walking like this and you were walking with them like this. And they thought you were all normal doing the same things. But what was happening is that you were looking at the vision of Jesus. And then suddenly through traveling prayer, a nation was born at once. And the person took off. I said, what happened? What happened was that the nation was born at once, which means the trajectory just went up and the person just shot out of the park. And that was what was happening. The person was looking at. All right, which means there was a conversation going on in their heart in the realm of the spirit. While other people were looking at the natural, they were doing that. And when it finally crystallized in their heart, then it manifested in their life. And there was that sudden surge, all right, that happened. And that's why sometimes you see a person, everybody's going, just a surge just happens. That's what pushes that person home, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.